Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The reading today is from Galatians 5, and we're reading from verses 13 to verse 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Judy. Good morning. My name is Tim. I'm on staff here. It's a great joy to be with you today. Many years ago, I was in a car just sitting outside a brothel in Sydney. Now that I have your attention, I was there with some friends, and it was because I used to do some volunteer work. You're like, oh, you used to do some volunteer work with an organization that sought to bring freedom to women in sexual slavery. And then you might be thinking, Sydney, sexual slavery. But the sad truth of the matter is there's probably at any given time in Sydney or Melbourne, and it's different for depending on the size of the city, 100 to 200 women in sexual slavery. In our country, in Australia, those aren't the only slaves in Australia. That was just the area I was working with. And we were watching this particular brothel trying to see if there were any women in sex slavery there. These women are tricked into coming into Australia. They're often from poorer countries, and they're often from a rural village, and someone comes and offers them a job in Australia. They offer to pay for their plane ticket. But what happens when they come is they're locked into a room. They're forced to see men. And that's what's happened to them. Their promised future has been taken away from them. They're enslaved. They have no future, they have no hope. To be a slave means your life is at the whim of someone else. It means you do what someone else requires you to do, and you have no control. Being in slavery is awful. And I think we understand, I mean, the idea of sex slaves in Australia is awful to us, isn't it? It should be abhorrent to us. And this is what Paul's point is. He's contrasting freedom to slavery in this passage. It's a heavy point. Paul's point is that without Jesus, we are slaves. Let me pray as we start. Heavenly Father, we know that without you we are as slaves. We thank you for your Son Jesus who saves us, and for your Holy Spirit who empowers us to live as you. Pray that you will speak to us from your word today, Lord, and it will affect how we live our lives and bring change for your glory in Jesus' sake. Amen. Our reading is from Galatians 5. I'm actually going to wind it back a bit because Paul's starting this argument a bit earlier. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Can we just pop? Yep, thank you. Thanks, Dong. And so I'll read it to us. So in Galatians 4. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns a whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. I want to spend some time on this passage just a bit earlier. It is quite a full-on passage. We could almost spend a whole message on that. But I particularly want to think about what it means that you're no longer a slave, but God's child. In 44 BC, something happened that shook the world. And you're like, Jesus wasn't born until 40 years later. No. Julius Caesar was assassinated 44 years before Jesus was born. And this is an event that reshaped history. And in his will, Julius Caesar named his heir, and his heir was Octavius. Octavius was not Julius Caesar's son, he was his nephew, his grandnephew. And Octavius becomes Caesar Augustus, the same Caesar who orders the census in Luke 2. You might be a bit, well, why is he talking about history? But because he did one little weird thing in his will. Julius Caesar actually adopted Octavius in his will. That's kind of an odd thing to do, isn't it? Why would you adopt a grown man? It was actually a Roman custom. It didn't usually happen to grown-ups, but it was a Roman custom, often if you didn't have an heir, to adopt someone from another family and bring them into your family. And they got all the rights your natural-born children would have had. It was a common Roman custom to do this. And this is a metaphor. The church at Galatia, they lived in a Roman world. They would have understood the metaphor that Paul is making. He's saying, you have been adopted as God's children. You have been taken from slavery to adoption and made God's heirs. You are his children. That's a powerful message. Because remember, we don't, I think, have any slaves sitting here amongst us. But the churches that were reading this letter, they would have been full of slaves. The Christian church was so attractive. Jesus was so attractive to people who were trodden down in the early centuries, being full of slaves. But also, it was full of rich people. It was full of people who were so far apart in status as it could be unimaginable. A slave wouldn't eat with his master. A slave would have to clean up after his master, dress his master. And so think of Paul's message to these people. You are all equal in God. You're all children of God. What a powerful message for a slave to hear that. And what a reminder for the rich. And we are rich in Melbourne, I think, by and large, in comparison to the world we live in. That our status comes from what Jesus has done for us and not what we own. So this is Paul's metaphor to the church. You are God's adopted children with all the rights that come from that. So Paul is making this massive contrast in Galatians and that bit we're reading. He's saying you're free because you're God's children. And you're free because of what Jesus did. Because without Jesus, we are enslaved to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. These are spiritual forces under the command of Satan, who wishes nothing more than your death and destruction. He wants nothing more than for you to remain enslaved to the things of this world. He doesn't want you to be a free child of God. And I know that's quite a harsh thing to say in some ways, but Rod reminded us on Good Friday that Jesus made a spectacle of these powers on the cross and in his resurrection. Jesus defeated them. These spiritual forces, they seek to destroy us and keep us enslaved. But because of Jesus, because of the victory Jesus won for us, he defeats those things which seek to keep us enslaved. He brings us freedom. And more than that, that's why I wanted to go back to this passage. He doesn't just free us. The contrast is not between a slave and someone who is not a slave. The contrast is between someone who is a slave and someone who is an adopted child of the Creator God. This is the contrast. It's powerful. It says you are God's free children. Child of God has a status others don't. Brings a freedom that you do not have if you're enslaved to the things of this world. Octavius was a free man. He didn't behave as a slave. If he'd behaved as a slave, if he'd thought he was at the beck and call of other things, he would not have become probably the most powerful emperor Rome ever had. You could probably ask Rod, he's better at history than me than that. But he lived as a free man and used his authority to the fullest as his rights as the son of Caesar gave him. Paul wants us to know that we are free children of God and that we are not bound by the things which enslave us. Which brings us back to today's reading, Galatians 5. We're looking at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom. What a list. This is what our slavery entitles us to. This is, often slaves are born to slavery, sometimes they're sold as debt slaves, but often slaves are born to slavery. This is what we are born to. We are born to enslavement. We are born to these desires. We are born to these things which imprison us and enchain us. And Satan will seek to keep us there. He will seek to keep us tied to the ways of the flesh. He will seek to keep us in our slavery. But the message is this. The message is to all of us who believe in Jesus, and the message to those who don't yet know Jesus and would like to. If you are in slavery, there's hope. Jesus wants us to be free. Satan wants us chained. Jesus wants us to be free. That is Paul's message in the first part of chapter 4. And he keeps going with that metaphor for a bit. We were slaves, now we're free. So don't be chained to the things of this world. When a Roman became the adopted son of a powerful Roman, he would not have thought to keep living as a slave. It would have been ridiculous. If you're the child of Julius Caesar, why would you live as a slave? You would live with the rights and privileges conferred from that. A slave does as they are told. They are bound by their master's will. The poor women who are enslaved, they have no choice. They're often kept locked in the same room except for when they're seeing clients. They have no choice. And that's what we are, as slaves. And I can see that you might be going, this is really great. But how do I live as a free child and not someone who's enslaved? You know, those chains are too powerful for me to break. You know, I look at my brother. Look at that list of that Paul makes. Some of them seem like really big things. You know, witchcraft, debauchery, orgies. But lots of those are just things that we all experience. Jealousy. I'm jealous of my brother. He makes more money than I do. Anger. I'm just so angry at my children these days and I don't know why. Maybe it's that dissension, that faction, that kind of gossip that gets created. And I just really like hearing that juicy bit of gossip about my boss or about my coworker or about that family member, you know, the black sheep that we talk about at lunchtime. And you don't like hearing about it because you want to see how you can help them. You like hearing about it because that what's happening to them, you enjoy hearing, you know, what's going on to them, and you kind of take delight in their misfortune. And you're thinking, that's just too powerful for me to break. I cannot. How can I live as a free child? I am weighted down by the chains that I was born to. You might feel, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for years. I want to live as a free child. What do I do? And Paul tells us, we're to live by the fruit of the Spirit, which enables us to develop the character of God. In verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Forbearance just means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. We can be truly free in the Spirit because in us He creates a character of God which allows us to live as a child of God. A child lives like their father or their parents in general. The Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is given to us so that we might live like Him. In the confession, it kind of sums up my message. It says, you know, we're forgiven through Christ. He cleanses us and makes us children. And then it says, enable us to live through your Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Live through the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like to be particularly free? There's a story from my childhood which has been told to me. I'm too young to remember it, but I think it might help us. If you're in the medical profession, you might not appreciate this story so much. But in the early 1990s, my family lived in a small village in Tanzania called Berega. There were CMS missionaries, and my dad was a doctor in the local hospital, and my mum worked in the local orphanage. And the way the Tanzanian society tried to work was they tried to put all their services in hubs in small towns and stuff like that. It failed because the government didn't deliver the services, but the idea was there. And one day the Tanzanian health minister, government minister in the cabinet, thought he would come and visit and he would check up on the hospital. And so he arrived at the hospital. And Tanzanian society, our society is kind of, we'll refer, if we meet a member, our member of parliament, we would refer to them by their first name. We wouldn't call them sir. Or in Tanzanian or African society, often you wouldn't do that. You would be more respectful. You'd kind of assume that they're, you know, a bit higher up than you. So Tanzanian health minister, he was an important man. And he was visiting the hospital and he decided he'd like to go into theatre and have a look at what was happening. And the hospital administrator said, yeah, you can go in. You know, he's a health minister, of course he can go where he likes. And a nurse in Tanzanian society is not on the level of the health minister, a rich and powerful man. The nurse says, no, you have no right to go into that operating theatre. You're not a doctor, you're not a nurse, you're not an orderly. There's no reason for you to be in there. You cannot go in. The hospital administrator, he's going, what? No. Please let this powerful man in. The nurse goes, no, can't go in. And the health minister ended up being so impressed by her keeping to the boundaries and regulations that he gave her some money. And I think that's where we sit, isn't it? We're kind of like, we're in slavery and we look at what we want. We kind of look at those fruits of the Spirit and we go, we'd like to be there. The health minister wanted to be in the theatre and we can't get there. But as children of God, we can. This story is all well and good except for the fact that the doctor's young son used to wander around the village and might decide from time to time that he would like to visit his dad. His dad might be in theatre and that son, who was me of course, would just wander in. And the nurses would let me into theatre. I said medical professionals might be shocked. Might be muddy, I might be carrying sticks, but just wander into the theatre. Because my father was there, and I could see him. I was free in a way that the health minister was not. I wasn't powerful, but because of my father, I could wander there. And so being the child of God allows us to grow the character of God. And we see it in church, don't we? I really love being at morning church and seeing your children playing up here. I love seeing how Veronica wants to come up stage and be with Heidi, and Hamish wants to come and be with Randall when Randall does communion. But we don't feel like that, do we? We kind of don't feel like we could rush the stage and give Heidi a hug. We kind of don't feel like we could come up while Randall's doing communion and give him a hug. You might want to try it next time he does it. He's assessing my sermon, so we'll see how we go. Because we realize that we're kind of tied to our chairs, adults, aren't we? We can't break free from that. But children, they live freely. And so Paul is saying, as you sit there enslaved, as you sit there in those chains feeling they weigh you down, you're tied to your chair, he says, you can look past that and you can find freedom as a child by growing in the character of God. And it's the Holy Spirit who gives us this character. It's the Holy Spirit who grows the fruit of the Spirit in us. And so how do we grow in the fruit of the Spirit? How do we get past these chains? How do we live as a child, a free child of God and not as a slave? I want to suggest that we can do this by developing the habits of fruit trees. Oh, there we go. I've missed a slide. There we go. This is where we are. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit. And fruit is something that grows. And so looking at fruit trees, I thought, would be a useful way to think about this. I want to suggest that we develop the habits of fruit trees. That first of all, a fruit tree to grow needs to be planted in good soil. If we look at Jesus' parable of the good seed, it's some of it scattered on rocky ground and won't grow. If we're planted on rocky ground, if we're planted in soil that's not fruitful, we will not grow. We will not develop the fruits of the Spirit. If you're living like a slave, you will be a slave. If you spend your time on pornographic websites, you're going to struggle to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. If you spend your time at work gossiping about your boss and taking delight in those little bits of information about your family members who are black sheeps, you won't grow in the fruit of the Spirit. What soil are you planted in? What soil is your tree planted in? Instead, spend time in the Bible. This is good, rich soil that will help us grow. My goal usually at the beginning of each year is to try and read through the Bible. This year, about halfway through January, I'd started to plan. I just felt like it just wasn't engaging me. And it's hard, isn't it, to read the Bible? And so I thought, I was like, God, what would you like me to read? And I felt pointed towards the last 12 books of the Old Testament, the minor prophets. And I would just sit with a chapter each day and I would rewrite it, I'd paraphrase it. And I started growing. I was reminded of God's grace to a sinful, sinful people. And that encouraged me. So think about how you can be planted in good soil. Spend time with other Christians in prayer. I like coming to Monday night prayer. Some of you do. And you pray together and you're encouraged because you start to hear what God's Spirit is saying to us. Start to hear what He would like, how He would like us to live. You're planting yourself in good soil. Prayer is an important habit to have. And doing it with other people helps us develop it. The second thing fruit trees need to be is they need to be fed well. They need to, the grammar's kind of bad there, but you need to feed well if you're going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. If you're feeding on the wrong things, you will not grow the fruit of the Spirit. Constantly watching TV, is that the main influence on your life? You won't grow. If you're constantly fantasizing about what you would do with an extra 10 grand if you got a promotion, and you're so focused on what you could do if you had that extra level of income, you won't grow in the Spirit. Because you'll be so distracted, so enslaved by the things of this world. What are you feeding yourself on? Feed yourself on spending time with other Christians. Have them over for lunch. Find Christians at your workplace. I know Christians at this church who found other Christians in the work environment. Maybe they don't do the same at work at the same place, but they work in the same field. And they meet together for lunch every now and then, and they encourage each other, and they feed each other. And seek to hear from the Spirit how He will use you in your workplace. And the third thing to do is to let yourself be pruned. Fruit trees will not grow, or they will grow, but they won't be as fruitful unless they're regularly pruned. And this is a hard thing. We need to come from God and let Him strip us from those things which are chaining us down. And the problem with the chains is I think sometimes we quite enjoy them. We enjoy the sin, and that's why it becomes so hard to break it down. I really enjoy reading my Puritan Book of Prayers, particularly because they teach me to despise sin. The constant refrain there is, Lord, teach me to despise my sin. Unless you hate your sin, you won't want to get rid of it. And the other thing the Puritans really do, they're really big on the Spirit enabling us to live like that. And so we need to sit before God and say, Holy Spirit, what do you need to break in my life? What do you need to deal with so that I can grow those fruits of the Spirit? This isn't even about becoming a better Christian or anything like that. It's about just developing the character of God. It's not about becoming a famous speaker or prophet or great healer. It's simply about having the character of God. This can be hard because it requires you to humble yourself before God and before other people. I've asked some people to do some prayer ministry with me in the coming weeks because I want to live as a free child, and that requires God doing work in my life. It's not something you do once. You kind of keep looking at what am I letting enchain me? And saying, God, help me to be free so I can live like you. We're called to live as free children and not slaves. And we do this by having the character of God. When I'm on my motorbike, I like to listen to music. I do this by having a Bluetooth headset. Judy's kind of like, what? It's quite safe most of the time. Anyway, I have a Bluetooth headset. And my Bluetooth headset doesn't play whatever it wants. It plays what I've set it to play through my iPhone. It can't play anything else. The character of my Bluetooth headset is the character of my phone. This is what God is saying to us. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Seek to grow in such a way that your character is that of mine. And then you will live as free children. Like Octavius, like Caesar Augustus, living in the freedom he had as the heir of Julius Caesar, live free. Like the freedom the kids have when they feel like they want to come and see their mom or their dad, live free like that. And you do that by growing the character of God. Slavery is an awful injustice which affects more people today than it did at the height of the slave trade. It's an awful fact. They're hazy in the numbers, but they know there are millions and millions of people in slavery, even in Australia. Unfortunately, there are great organizations like International Justice Mission, A21, which seek to bring freedom to people in captivity. In the same way, Jesus came to bring us freedom from captivity. And he actually wants us to not just be free, but to live as children. He does that through his Holy Spirit. God has worked powerfully in us to make us his adopted children. And you will live freely by seeking to take on that character. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You can grow in the character of God and live like free children. Let me pray.